Well, welcome again, once again, to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. We were having a good laugh before we started, weren't we?
Yes.
In the studio today with me is Brandy Wilson, who is the director of Heritage Hall, and of course, very involved with the Marion County Historical Society. And Brandy, you have a plethora of things to talk about today.
I do.
So I'll let you start where
you
want.
Oh, boy. Well, you had asked early on when we were chatting about our new sign, and we did have a new digital sign put in, so that's kind of been the talk of the town lately. We had sponsorships by Brooks Brown, the George and Millie Brown Family Foundation, and Wyandotte Popcorn made that possible. So Brooks and I kind of hashed out what we were looking for and what we wanted to represent the museum, and I couldn't be more pleased.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So it is. And we've got some lighting that's going to go in, some up lighting once the weather breaks here. So in the next couple of weeks, Adam Electric will be out to get that done. And then we'll be able to have not only white lighting, but multicolored lighting to celebrate when there's various holidays or things going on. So just more changes to the building. We've had a wonderful ProScape did our landscaping, and it's just been an amazing transformation. The building has come to life. Mm-hmm. For a long time, it kind of just looked a little bit vacant and not very much curb appeal, I guess.
Sure.
So it's nice. I'm still on a learning curve for the sign, so I thought I was smarter with my technology, but now I've got to read a few instructions so I can start making daily and weekly updates to the signage. But
well, from what I've seen so far, you're doing a fine job.
Well, thank you. It's it's learning.
I see it almost every day.
Yes. So I was driving by. I had taken my son to school in the morning, and I was coming back through town, and I was on Prospect and Church, stopped at the light and near the city parking lot, mm-hmm. and I looked over, and I'm like, oh, boy, you can see it clear down here. So it's very impressive, and I'm really happy that the sign has the integrity with it matches the building,
sure.
and it looks like it's been there for years, mm-hmm. so I'm pleased. Hopefully we don't annoy anyone downtown. I had questioned a few of my mom drove by and did an investigation on it at night. I was like, tell me if it's too bright. And she said, no, it looks good. Because sometimes those digital signs can be very in your face.
I
can remember the one, I think the big billboard in Waldo.
Oh, yeah.
When you're coming down 23,
yes.
when that first was lit up, I worked in Columbus at the time, and coming back and seeing that lit up, I almost wrecked.
Yeah. Those things can be distracting, but I don't think that one's a problem.
No,
I really don't.
No, I think it's very nice. And
as people are stopped at the stoplight,
yes,
they can read your message.
They can see what we're doing and hopefully get accustomed to seeing that signage and reading what we're doing. I know the old sign, people paid attention to that because if we did something or there was something that didn't make mm-hmm. sense, boy, we heard about it. So I know people watch the sign.
So just, you mm-hmm. know, my lack of knowledge of this, you can just type in what you want from a keyboard,
yes.
in your office?
I can do it right from my desk. So
oh.
no more out in the cold weather trying to change letters
right.
that end up rearranged or stolen or, you know, blowing away in the wind. We can do it right from inside. And there's a way also, and I haven't figured this out yet, I think we can do it remotely. So if we were to close or something because of weather,
mm-hmm.
we could do it from our house.
Oh, wow.
I think there's an app I can download. I just haven't got that far.
Give me the password.
I'm sure you would. You'd put something very creative on there. I see your little Facebook posts where they're... I always know when it's you. There's been a couple times I've thought about tagging you, and I'm like, no, he posted that. So.
I need the encouragement.
Yes, yes. You could do a daily little blurb on our sign about... Mike's minutes.
So I add to the culture of Marion County.
Yes.
What can I say?
Hey, that's fine. And then Lynn School, that's been a hot topic as well since she was hit last year with the semi. And at the beginning of, the end of December, December 31st to be exact.
Oh, was it?
Quality Masonry began to rebuild. And I've been getting updates from them and pictures and things. And I did a post on Facebook, I believe last week, to showcase some of the work that's happened out there, and it's fantastic. I was so excited. I had half a wall, and then Friday evening we were driving up towards Bucyrus, and to go past the school, I told my husband, I said, slow down, I need to check her out. And I actually had a window and a wall, and I'm like, oh my goodness. So,
and from what I've seen, the bricks match very closely to what was
there.
We
had a donation, and her name was Bonnie Bell. She had called us.
I know Bonnie.
Do you?
Yes, we used to work together at WMRN.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Well, she had called us almost immediately after the school was hit, and she's like, I've got these bricks sitting in my backyard. And they were from a school building that had been on her property.
Yes.
She'd used some of them for projects here and there. And she's like, if you want them, they're all yours. And Quality Masonry went out to pick them up. And we needed 500 bricks. She had 500 bricks.
Oh, my.
So it was meant to be. And just fantastic. They match. It looks excellent. I'm pleased. And hopefully we'll be up and running in the spring. So get the school kids back in there and experience a one-room schoolhouse. So I'm excited.
So since she was a benefactor of the school, you could say she's a school bell, right?
Yes, yes. I knew you would have, there's some of his wit that we would put on the signs. All puns. All puns all the time. No. So, yes, that was a relief to see the building come back together. And, you know, you worry about those things and how long is it going to take and is it going to happen? And
now, one of the biggest concerns was the fuel that was spilled.
Yes, that's kind of
underneath.
What held up the whole process. And we had that cleaned up. It was excavated out of there, new soil put in, and you can't smell anything. So I'm like, it smelled like dirt when I left that day, and it still smelled like dirt when the guys went out to start working. So now I'm sure it smells like bricks and mortar. I don't.
That's fine. But that school is quite a treasure in Marion County. The Hamilton brothers.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I've heard so many great stories that I'm like, I need a time machine to go back in time to meet so many of Marion's, you know, folks that just did these great things.
Sure.
And the stories I've heard about the Hamilton brothers, and they were just in their older age, even just as spry as they were in their youth. So that they wanted to save the Lynn School. I knew as soon as I saw the wreck and damage out there at the time that it had to be restored, that nothing else could happen. And I'm like, they, you know, looked down on us, and I think things have come together. So,
okay. And things such as chalkboards and desks, you've had donations.
We've had the offer of donations for the chalkboard, chalkboards and their slate. One of them was damaged. It had a chunk out of it. In some ways, I want to leave it because I feel like that's a character and a story to tell.
Okay, sure.
So I guess I'll rely on what Quality thinks is best, because if it's something that's going to just continue to fall apart, I wouldn't want to leave it in there. But I rely a lot on their knowledge of these things. And then the desks, we've had an offer of having 7 donated to us, and we lost about 10. So I think this will more than cover what we've lost. We have access to a couple more that folks have also been willing to donate. So I think we'll be in pretty good shape. We're just waiting now. We have to have the floor custom made. It was handcrafted when the original remodel took place. So we once again have to have that done because there was heavy damage to the flooring. So I think that type of thing on the interior will take a little more time than the exterior. So Now it's just kind of waiting on everything to fall back in place, and then we'll be open.
That's amazing.
And, it is.
And I think that we find that the people in Marion County do appreciate their history.
Yes.
And if there's a need like that, people are going to come forward and
Absolutely.
Do what they can to help.
Absolutely. I've been very impressed. And the folks I met along the way that had concern and were, you know, what do you guys need? How can we help? And that's always just such a positive aspect of our community. And I think the history, like you said, that I find that a lot, that mm-hmm. there's a rich history in this community and people really embrace that and are want to save those historic things. So mm-hmm. I've been fortunate.
Oh, yes, you have been.
And then today we actually did something fun. It was kind of our first annual tour with the presidents. So today myself and President Washington and mm-hmm. President Truman went out on site on President's Day nonetheless.
Oh, yes, yes.
And we visited with some folks in the community. We went to Boyd Bourne Funeral Home, Carroll's Jewelers, the Marion Industrial Center, Wilson Bohannon Lock Company, and then we met with Kit Fogle at Merrill Lynch today. So we were out and visiting in the community, kind of getting the word out of the activities and things we're doing at Heritage Hall and as the Marion County Historical Society, and just spreading the word with these folks. And it was nice to have time with people I've not been able to spend a lot of time mm-hmm. with, and just to meet these folks and such rich history, like I said, just in these businesses in Marion. So it's been a really good day. I had an enjoyable time and getting our presidents out there and talking about some of the things the Historical Society is doing. So that was a lot of fun, and I thank them for their time today, because
sure.
I know that we spent a lot of time with these folks, so it was great. And then back at Heritage Hall, we're closed right now, and a lot of people think that even though we're closed, that we're open, and unfortunately we're not. We have things just kind of all
Jumbled?
Over the place.
Okay.
I mean, we have things out of archives because we're dismantling the exhibit from last year and putting in new stuff for this year. And we can't have people in the museum when you have these things out.
Sure.
You know, we have things that are archived that have come out and made an appearance, you know, for the first time in a while. And you know, you're staging things, so it's just not really a convenient time to have tours and things going on. And I know that upsets some people that they can't just come in all the time, but we do have to have some downtime to get these exhibits changed so that we aren't just a stagnant.
It's a big undertaking.
It is. It really is. And you think you have all this time, and then I was just looking at the calendar and I'm like, oh, we open in 3 weeks. So we've progressed nicely, and we don't do the main atrium is kind of our biggest exhibit
sure.
change.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have some things that we're planning, and we've got volunteers that'll come in and help with some of the exhibit change. So that's really nice to have all the extra hands on deck. And then, you know, at the same time, you have to put away the stuff you're taking off exhibit, and that's a whole new process.
Right.
So it's very busy in there. So we're closed, but we're still doing all of these things to make it a nice experience during the open season. So it's been been a lot of fun. We're going to step back 100 years, and our exhibit theme this year will be the 1920s. So it's such a...
Did anything happen in the 1920s that pertains to Marion?
You know, I don't think there was a lot going on. Maybe a presidential election.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
the right for women to vote,
right,
you know.
Women, yeah, women voted. But we are going to look at all of those things. Mm-hmm. Marion was a hotbed of activity with President Harding and his campaign. So that's huge. And then you have, of course, women's suffrage, which is huge. I know it's the League of Women Voters 100th anniversary this year. And we have a group coming from, the state representatives from the League of Women Voters.
Okay.
came and met with us last year, and they're going to come in and do a tour. So we've got an exhibit planned for that that will give them kind of an overview. The Board of Elections had donated some old voting machines and things, so we're able to showcase how voting's changed over the years. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, women's suffrage, that was something not only here in the States, but it was going on kind of worldwide. So there was a lot of other countries that had the right to vote for women before we did. So you think of America as being this, the United States is really progressive, and then in some ways we're not. So it'll be interesting to look at that. And then, of course, prohibition, which that's been very interesting to kind of tackle and see. I spent some time this weekend up at the Great Lakes, and I was looking through a book that was talking about the wineries and like the islands and the lighthouses and people coming from Canada and wrecking into the lighthouses because they're, you know, the Coast Guard would be out trying to catch these rum runners.
Okay.
Or they would get hung up on ice. And so there's a lot of neat history there, but this is all funneling through then to bring alcohol into the state and get it into people's hands. And then you have all these wineries in Ohio, and they converted over to making communion wine.
Okay.
So that's how they got around it, because it was for sacramental wine versus for the pleasure of just drinking wine. But, you know, that's kind of interesting to think about when you have that as your main business and your main kind of community support, and then prohibition hits. So you look at it from the side of, you don't want your husband's out drinking and spending all their paycheck money on alcohol, but then at the same time, this is what supports a community. So we're looking at that, and we have our soda fountain back bar is now a speakeasy.
Oh my, okay.
Yes.
What a change.
We changed it over a bit. So that's been kind of neat to look at. And then I was excited this year. We did take a look at some of the leisure activities. So we had some nice swimsuits from the 20s, which were nice and woolen. and to showcase that, and Crystal Lake being popular
well,
in the
sure.
20s.
Yes.
And people were driving more. So you have access in an automobile to go and explore more of your community and do more things. The CD&M carrying people from Columbus, Delaware, and then on into Crystal Lake as an amusement area. So to think that we had all of that in our own backyard, and people could go there and have picnics, and you could dance, you could ride rides. It was like a really big social engagement. So we're looking at that, and the activities of fishing and things like that that are still popular today, and what kids were doing. And then I think that one of the other things we were looking at was the changing fashions. Women's fashion really changed a lot. You went from these long dresses to now you're in the flapper era where hair's being cut off shorter, women are wearing shorter dresses, and also a little more freedom. I think you were more apt to go out and do things versus just being at home. They were more, I guess, not only were they getting the right to vote, but they were also getting freer in their actions and being able to be more independent and thought of as a more independent sex versus being, I guess, these, you go from your parents' home into your husband's home, and you couldn't think or act for yourself because you were just a girl. So I think you started seeing more of that movement come
through. Yes, I think so.
And it's been interesting to just look at the fashion changes in such a quick time. Because it really was, you know, even Florence Harding, her dresses, she didn't wear the short flapper dresses, but they did come up above the ankle.
Oh,
and
my.
She was a very stylish woman. So,
yes.
I mean, for that time, she was also following those trends and was a modern lady. So I think that's been fun to look at.
Well going back, talking about prohibition and the speakeasies.
Yes.
Is there much documented on that activity in Marion, or is it hard to...
Well,
because I'm sure
have,
most people didn't write, hey, I got a speakeasy
right,
over here, you know?
Yes.
You know.
We are still doing some research, but we've come across a few articles where you'll find different arrests for
raids and
transporting alcohol and things of that nature. And then, you know, there's always the rumors that Al Capone was here during that time. And I have never seen a picture that he's been here, so I can't say yes or no. I've heard the stories and, you know, from different family members who say that, yes, he was here. And so, I mean, I would like to think that those are true stories. I think based on some of the facts around the different people that were in the community at the time, maybe things that were kind of seedy in nature going on with, like, Gracie's house. I know most people know she was a house of ill repute. And so I think just some of the connections there, it is very possible that he was here or that that type of element was in the community.
So if somebody has some positive proof of that,
it would be very, I would love
to hear from them.
Love to hear from them. Sure. I know it's, like I said, I've not seen the pictures, but I've heard the stories, and there's a lot of stories, and they all basically are the same type of information, but I've never seen for my own eyes the proof. And I would like to, I mean, Marion, really, our railroad system and things, you could easily travel by train to get here. And we're halfway between here and the lakes and Cincinnati, where you have alcohol coming from all over. So it's very possible that that type of element was here in Marion.
I know you had talked about Crystal Lake, and I do have a copy of Randy Winland's book on Crystal Lake, which, by the way, is available if you would want to contact
it. It absolutely is. Heritage Hall, contact us at the Historical Society, and we can get a copy to you. It's a fascinating book.
It is a fascinating book.
And to think about having that here in Marion, because you think now amusement parks, you're like Cedar Point, Kings Island, Disney, you know, and we had that in our own backyard.
Well, and there was a lot of controversy about the manner of dress and people being on the street in their swimsuits
and
so
on. That was frowned upon.
Can you imagine today?
You couldn't ride on the D&M in your swimsuit, so there you are. And back then, people dressed. So you were dressed to the nines going to, you know, the grocery store. And so to think that you can't be in your swimsuit, it's like, wow, because now it's just like you see everybody in anything and everything. So to think that there were these kind of codes of conduct, and people followed them.
Well, even in my time, I can remember us making trips to Cedar Point. We weren't allowed to wear jeans or shorts. We dressed nicely to go there.
Yes. Well, anything like that was an event. Yes.
I mean, and that's, you know, just a few years ago. That's not that far long
ago. Right, in the 80s. It wasn't that long ago.
Well, yeah, yeah. 70s, 80s, whatever. Close enough.
They all blur together.
Yeah, they do.
But, yeah, I mean, it, people were just, like, even flights and things like that, you would see old photos and people were just dressed.
Oh, yes.
In suits and ties and dresses.
And you wouldn't go to the grocery store in curlers.
No, no. Now, that came about a little bit more, I think, as if you were in your curlers at the grocery store, and we have some pictures of women in their with their hair up. Your men were at work during the day, so men weren't at the grocery store.
Okay.
So you didn't really have to impress the men, so to speak. Like, now I think that's a place where you're like, oh,
yeah, that's
the
true.
Best place to meet your spouse would be at the grocery. And
which grocery is that?
I don't know. Okay. I've just heard that on those commercials and things. But I look at it and I think, back then, the men would be at work, women were home, so you really didn't have, you were at the store with your neighbors and things like that. So if you were in your curlers and house dress, which was still a nice dress, it wasn't your everyday pajamas that you wear to Walmart now.
Or sweatpants or whatever.
So I think, though, that there was still that code of, you know, they might have their nice little scarf on and be in there with the rollers, but they were still presentable.
But I think it's going to be interesting to see your display on the 20s. Marion in the 20s.
Yes.
The events that were going on.
Oh, there's a lot of great things
and
that
it's
happened.
Hard to believe that was 100 years ago.
I know. I know. And there's so many things that happened in the 20s just as a, on a whole. We had Wilson Bohannon came in 1926.
Oh, okay.
So they're at their 160th anniversary this year, so that's really exciting. They literally moved their operation from Brooklyn, New York to Marion, Ohio, and it all revolved around a gentleman who during World War I had a stopover at the depot and liked the people of Marion and there.
Oh my.
So that led to his decision to move his family here. And so to think about that, I hear that all the time, even now. Marion folks are so friendly. It's such a friendly, and that's so refreshing to hear, because you always get sucked into the negative on the news and things. So to hear that, and to hear that that's always been the case, that there's just a good environment in Marion and people are friendly, is really refreshing that that hasn't changed. So that's one thing that we do well.
Sure.
So I think that that's kudos to the Marion folk for.
Okay. And by the way, when is the official opening for the season?
The official opening for the season will be on Saturday, March 7th. We'll begin our weekend hours that weekend. So March 7th and 8th will be our first open weekend, and we'll be open from 1 to 4. And then admission will still be the same this year. We have $6 for adults, $5 for seniors, and $3 for children 5 and up. And then, of course, that does include the tour of the Wyandotte Popcorn Museum. So you get all of that.
And a box of popcorn.
And a box of popcorn after your tour.
That.
So, I mean, it's a lot to take in. It's a great, great place to come and visit. And you just never know what you're going to see. We have a few things that are just your standard staples, like Prince Imperial. He's there. We do make modifications to his area from time to time, depending on what our theme is for the year. So we did change up the costuming on the lady that's in there.
Oh, you did?
Yes. So she looks more 1920s.
Okay, I was going to ask, Prince Imperial, what time period was he?
He was from the 1800s, 1878. Okay. So he's late 1800s. And he pretty much doesn't leave display. He's too big to move. And there's nowhere to store him, so he's going to stay put. But we do try to make each of our exhibits have a little bit of a change each year. And the main atrium, of course, is always changing.
Right.
So.
And you have wonderful exhibits downstairs on industrial things. The Guthrie store.
Yes. And then we have aviation now.
Yes, you do.
Marion Municipal Airport. We had one of our volunteers and our education curator went out there and spent some time, and they have loaned us some photos and things of the airport over the years, and it's been fantastic to see the aviation history we have here in Marion. Mm-hmm. So that's been a fun exhibit to see come together. And it filled up a space that was kind of empty that people were like, what is this? And
down there by the Coke machine.
Yes. And that's been moved to the other hallway.
Okay.
So we did a little rearranging down there. But it's been fun just to see things transform and move around a little bit. So
I think that's important with a museum, that things do get changed. Because quite honestly, if you go to see it, are you going to go back to see it again if it's the same static displays?
You're not.
So
there's certain things I think you expect when you go to visit a museum or one of your favorite attractions. I know, like as a kid, when you'd go to Cosi, I always liked the little pendulum, and you looked for that when you went in.
When they moved to the other location?
I think so, but I thought they changed the design a little bit, so I don't know if it's still that same design that when I remember as a kid. I know they've made a lot of changes there, so. But you look for those certain things. So hopefully Prince Imperial and some of the areas that don't change much are those things that they look for that are continually the same. But then the other stuff is always changing. And I think it is important because you do want people to come back over and over. Mm-hmm. If you have a membership, it's nice to come in and know, okay, I can spend some time looking here today, and then the next time I come back, I'm going to check this stuff out. So you don't feel like you have to rush through it all in one visit, because there is a lot to see.
There is a lot
there. I work there on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I help, you know, plan things. But I still walk out and I'll find something new to look at. At things I passed a million and one times, and I'm like, I never saw that before. So that's always a lot of fun.
Okay, and you were talking about membership.
Yes.
Tell us about membership, how you join,
you can join online.
I am a member, by the way.
Yes, you are.
A paid member.
You are. I would have been harassing you right now when you said that. I threw a membership form at you. You can join via online at our website, marionhistory.com. And there's a link, and it helps you sign right up as a member. You can print it off, or you can join right online. And then you can also stop by Heritage Hall. We're there. Currently, our hours are Tuesday through Friday. We're closed on Mondays until April, and we'll be there from 9 to 4.
And just the office.
Just the office. And you can come in and join there. If you want us to mail the information to you, we'd be happy to do that as well. A membership also makes a great gift. It's just something that you can get out of the weather, whether it's cold or hot outside. There, it's a good place to come and kind of see what's going on in your community. Local history is fun.
It
so
is.
We want to make sure that everyone sees that, and it's not the stuff you're learning in a textbook or that. You know, there's just so much. I learn stuff every day, and I love that. I think that's the most amazing thing, is to be able to continually learn and take things away from what you're learning. So hopefully people come in and can experience that themselves. So if you would like to be a member, we definitely welcome that. And a family membership is $50, but that will get you and all of your household in. Endless. As long as we're open, you can come.
Okay.
And then I know one of our events we have coming up in March, this is our kickoff event for the season, is our Night at Heritage Hall. This will be our 14th year doing Night at Heritage Hall. And for anyone who's not been a part of this, it's basically the ability to explore the museum that's been dimly lit. You get a flashlight and you get to come in and meet various characters from Marion's history. We try to keep it Marion-centric, but we do have folks who are also tied to Marion in some way.
I say like Warren Harding might be there this year?
I do believe he and Florence will make an appearance. As long as they're not out campaigning. So we'll have the Hardings, and then I believe Dr. Sawyer will be there this year, and he was another friend of the Hardings, and right. also an important medical person here in the Marion community doing
now,
a lot.
Now, didn't he go
Sawyer
to Washington
Sanitarium.
With the Hardings
yes,
to be their
he did.
Physician?
He did. And I believe he was the Surgeon General, is that
oh,
the title?
Yes, I think you're right.
Yes.
I think you're right on that.
So he became the Surgeon General for the U.S. And then he had a very holistic approach to medicine. He had the big Sawyer Sanitarium out on White Oaks Road. Mm-hmm. And then prior to that, it was in town on Main Street. So that's
kind of across from the former library,
yes,
I believe that
yes,
building.
Yes, because the former library
which is
was actually
could be a beautiful building.
It was that building was always just mm-hmm. really cool. I thought when I was a kid, and I didn't know the history behind it at the time. I just thought, oh, that's a really great building. But where the library was built, those were grounds to the Sawyer Sanitarium, where you could go out and walk, and they were flower
oh,
gardens and things.
Okay.
And then later on, that land was donated to build the library.
Yeah.
So. It has a nice history, too.
Yes, it does.
And we're going to try to do a 20s theme, but we also have other characters. So we'll have, like, George and Martha Washington will be there, some of our Civil War soldiers. There's just a variety of characters from history, and the exhibits just come alive. So you never know who you're going to meet around the corner.
There might be one of them that actually looks a lot like me as well.
There could be. There could be some distant historical relative. And this event takes place on Friday, March 20th, and Saturday, March 21st. And both nights it will begin at 7 and end at 9. We do have some discounted rates if you are a member, so you can get discount tickets. Pre-registration is $4 a person and $5 at the door for members. Non-members are $7 in advance and $8 at the door. So it's a good event to bring your kids, bring yourself. It's for all ages. Everyone has fun. I don't think there's an age requirement on this one. It's just a lot of fun, and you get to mingle with these folks that are there playing these historic figures, so you're able to have a conversation. There's some interactive things. Some of the characters actually have children taking part in. They pass notes. One of our characters, she passes notes that would have been passed in the Civil War with the using flowers. And so then she has somebody in the museum, whether it's a Civil War soldier, that's taking these messages. So the kids get to be involved, adults too, if they would like. But it's just kind of a fun event, and it's our kickoff event for the season. So I look forward to it. We get to showcase the exhibit and see all of our hard work kind of come.
Your predecessor used to use a word, edutainment.
Yes. That's a good fit.
It's educational as well as entertaining.
Yes.
The kids love it.
They do. And the adults too. And it's fun to see year after year the people who come back and to see the kids grow up kind of, you know, over the years. And then to see the adults that come in and then they bring their friends or the people that come from out of town. A lot of folks are coming from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good event near spring breaks for a lot of the kids. So it's something to do. It's local. It's easy to get to. So it's just a good time. And if you haven't been or you've not been in a while, definitely come and participate.
I might show up.
You better.
I'll be
you
there.
You have no choice. No, we do have a lot of fun. It's a good event, and we take our picture out on the front steps, and everybody's kind of driving by like, what's going on there? Because there's all these different costumes, and they're like, when did we go back in time? And so
it's very fun to participate.
It is,
and it brings joy to the community. It's a wonderful event.
It is. It's one of my favorites because we get to have the event at the museum.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to show off my space instead of being off site doing something. It's
right.
It's just a lot of fun.
Okay. One thing we haven't talked about mm-hmm. is the bicentennial of Marion County.
Yes, we do have coming up on February 27th. We have the second in our series of Marion 200, which is a speaker series that we're trying to showcase different parts of Marion's history. This one will be actually on farming. So it'll take a look at farm life for the last 200 years in Marion County and just kind of give a historic overview. We do have some people that are coming to share some hands-on exhibits and information on agriculture throughout Marion County over these last 200 years. The Marion County Historical Society will have some things on hand just to share with people coming in. And the last one we did was just fabulous. We had a great turnout, so we're hoping for the same. Mike Brewer is going to be our speaker that evening. We have a post that's getting ready to come out, kind of a sneak peek at what he's going to talk about. I believe the Huber Museum is going to actually be there that night to have some things to display. So I always love hearing the Huber story.
And when was this again?
This is going to be Thursday, February 27th at 7 p.m.
Okay.
And it takes place at Tri Rivers Career Center in the auditorium.
Okay.
So definitely a good program. Come out. We have a ticket now that you get to punch. So if you go to each one of our speaker series, it's a nice little keepsake to show you were there and share one day like people do with the old sesquicentennial items.
Yes.
Now we've got our bicentennial stuff.
Here
so, yes, I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm excited for it.
Are there other upcoming events in the planning right now?
There are. The actual events with each of the different villages in the county will begin a little towards more towards the spring,
mm-hmm.
summer time frame when it's a little warmer out because we'll have ice cream socials and stuff. If you look at marionhistory.com and then click on the bicentennial link, there's a calendar of events for the speaker series. And I just got the final draft of all the listing of events that will take place for the bicentennial. So that'll be going up later this week. So it's a good place for information. Or you can like us on Facebook. There's a bicentennial page for the Marion, Ohio Bicentennial. And if you like that page, you'll get daily updates on different pieces of Marion's history from over the last 200 years. And those are compiled to kind of lead up to whatever the next speaker series is. So they have a little bit of information leading up to each one of the events that are upcoming. So that's always a good place for information. And then just one one more push to kind of let everybody know that we will be opening again on March 7th and 8th for the weekend events. And we're always looking for volunteers to help as a docent, to lead tours, or to be a gift shop worker. If you want to help come clean, dust, set up exhibits, help with archives, we are always looking for volunteers. They help keep everything moving and keep us going. Without them, we wouldn't keep the doors open, because they definitely are very vital to what we do. So having a small staff like we do, we definitely need our volunteers. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be having volunteer orientation that will take place on March 7th in the morning. So prior to the opening, we will have a training for anybody who wants to come and be a volunteer. And that'll begin at, I believe, at 10 a.m. That'll start. And we'll go over, just for anybody who's coming in new and wants to learn about the volunteer opportunities, we'll kind of walk you through what we have. And then we try to match people with what their interests are. We don't want to just force you to lead tours if you don't like
right.
speaking in the public, but you prefer to be behind the scenes doing something. So we have a place for everyone. We try to get that out of them and ask the right questions so we can figure out where your interests are.
Well, some people are good speakers
yes.
and good with
the, yes.
Other people are good at driving nails and putting in screws.
Exactly.
You know? And you need all of them.
We do. And we learned, one of our volunteers, we had her in the gift shop, and here she's got this great musical background. So now she's out going on site visits with us when we go do different activities, and she's sharing her music, and it's just really nice to be able to learn what people's interests are and kind of place them where they have the most enjoyment, so they do want to come back and help us instead of like, oh, this is boring, why am I doing this? We want to fit where their needs also are met.
So if you have a certain talent, mm-hmm. certain ability, give Brandy a call and
yes.
say, look, can you use me? She'll
yes.
probably say,
yes.
get in here.
And you can always reach us at the museum at 740-387-4255. And we'll take your call, and we'll, you know, whether you want to join as a member or be a volunteer or both, or want to be a reenactor for Night at Heritage Hall, definitely give us a call.
Yeah, somebody kind of drugged me in that, and I've...
Yes. We don't let you go, do we?
No, you don't.
That's one of the other disclaimers, that once you join, you never get to go.
But it's okay. I enjoy it. I love the Marion
yes.
County Historical Society. The Wilson side of our family came to Salt Rock Township in the 1800s.
Okay.
And so my family has been through a lot of the things that you... display there.
Yes.
And
yes.
So yeah, I feel like I'm should be a part of the Marion County Historical Society.
Well, you are.
Just as long as you'd ask me to be a display. You
yeah.
know.
Well, that's later. We'll stuff you and put you in with Prince Imperial.
Okay. So I know it's really early in the planning for this year, but one of your biggest events of the year, of course, is the President's Dinner.
Yes.
How's that coming along?
That is coming along. We do have all of our presidents in line, to from the speakers to the non-speakers. So we have been selling tickets. So if you would like tickets for the dinner or the luncheons that we do with the presidents or first ladies, give us a call and we can help you get tickets. They're great events. It's fun entertainment, learning about the presidents and the first ladies. So definitely call us and get tickets.
And I've watched that event grow over the years.
Yes.
To where you have people coming on buses.
Yes.
From other parts of the state.
We do. And
I
then
mean,
you
it's
have
amazing.
Repeat. I have a couple from Indiana that come every year. We get a letter from them at the beginning of the year. Call us once you have tickets, and they come every year. They stay overnight. So they're coming into the community and staying, and they're visitors here. So they're also doing other activities in between. So.
Okay, so Brandy Wilson, thank you for being with us here today on The Mike Wilson Show. And be listening again next Monday afternoon to The Mike Wilson Show on WWGH.